I've recently been watching the first season of Star Trek Deep Space Nine on Netflix. Yes, I watch Star Trek. Deep Space Nine is my favorite entry into the franchise because it's, at least for me, a much more resonant depiction of the world compared to the other entries in the canon. It's messy, and sometimes it's hard to know what's right. The character Quark is an excellent example. He's an alien, a species who is obsessed with business and profit, often to the detriment of relationships with the rest of the residents of the space station. But every once in a while, he goes against those instincts and does something that is not in his normal milieu. He favors relationship over profit. That's one of the things I love about science fiction, is it holds a mirror up to us. Because there are people in this world who could be accused of being like Quark, being the same alien race as this character. Just look at what Amos accuses the Israelites of doing. He says that they eschew God, waiting with bated breath for the end of holy seasons so that they can get on with business. They want to sell their market derivatives and their mislabeled horse meat. Business, in short, that involves defrauding the poor in order that they might be rich. These people who Amos rails against and promises that God will remember are much more invested in their money than they are in their relationship with their fellow Israelite, much less relationship with God. It's not a stretch when we look at the newspaper, when we watch the news, to say that sometimes it seems like not much has changed. We read and hear stories about people who think that the world is a series of business transactions, that the golden rule is not do unto others as you would have others do unto you, but rather whoever has the gold makes the rules, and the person who dies with the most stuff wins. I have a friend who worked for a time at an auto dealership. He said it was the most cutthroat bunch of people that he had ever met. He was once chastised by his boss for spending too much time with one older gentleman, helping him choose the right car. "What are you doing?" asked his boss. "You had him buy a Civic. You were supposed to just get him in a Cadillac and get him out the door. This isn't time for a relationship. It's time to make money." The criticism leveled by Amos is not that they want to do business, but what business for them means. All business, like all politics, is local. Business requires transaction. Relationship, really, to work. And in fact, works best when the relationship is put above the profit. Now, Amos rails against the destruction of any sort of relationship in a continual quest for material gain. The cheating and swindling that some Israelites practice is not only defrauding the poor of what little dignity that they have, but it is also depriving both seller and buyer of a relationship with the other, and therefore with God. In striving to make profit, because it's business after all, these Israelites tell themselves the lie that they can only secure their own benefit in this dog-eat-dog world. And because not much has changed, the strange little parable that Jesus tells in today's gospel makes very little sense to us. It flummoxes us routinely. We assume that Jesus, like most of us, is all about the Benjamins. He's not. Let's be clear. Jesus is not giving a teaching about how the disciples can be shrewd money managers. He's not giving them a get-rich-quick scheme. He has no desire to be a pundit on CNN Mammon. If this parable befuddles us, it is because Jesus is talking not about money, not about how this world works, but about our relationship with God and God's people. Humans were created in the image and likeness of God in order to be God's middle management, a position in which we have been nothing short of abysmal. If it were simply business, as most of us think of the term, we would have been out on our ear a long time ago. But it's not about business, at least as we think about it. It's about relationship. We get into the most trouble when we believe that we were not created for relationship, but for business, and that we were responsible for ourselves, and that God is going to ignore us. Jesus' parable and comments in today's gospel puts paint to all of that. No, Jesus is not interested in money. He's not interested in business or profit or feeling secure. And he certainly isn't ignoring us. He's supremely interested in us, in each and every one of you. And not just in your wallet. Your wallet is only as important as the rest of you is. Your work, your homes, your joys, your sorrows, your pains, your travails, and even the dusty closet where you lock all of your skeletons. Jesus is interested in all of it. Jesus understands that the processes of God are not the same as our processes. The business of God is relationships, our relationship with God and with each other. And so Jesus has come down to secure us in this relationship. God is willing to secure a relationship with us to offer up his Son. And not only that, but also to forgive us all of our offenses. We, in turn, then, are free to forgive each other and to have a relationship with the rest of God's children. For God, that is business. Every year in my hometown, they have a road race, and a good part of the city comes out to run it. Growing up, I always ran the 5K, usually as preparation for my birthday cake. But my senior year in high school, I decided I would run the 10K instead. I was feeling full of vim and vigor. Unfortunately, that was also the hottest race on record, even at 8 o'clock in the morning. And so about halfway through the race, when I would normally have been done, I found myself all alone at the midway point, with the sun pouring down on me. And as I rounded a corner, I saw a little lemonade stand in the distance. I made a beeline for it. I stopped, and I asked, knowing that I didn't really have any money, how much? "Oh," said the little girl behind the card table, "it's free." And she handed me a large red cup of made from scratch, lemonade with just a little sugar and a taste of salt. "You know," I said between giant gulps, "you could make a fortune today if you charged people." "Why would I do that?" the little girl asked. "Nobody has any money. And besides, I'm just giving people what they need." The Lord's Prayer is probably the most recited prayer in all of Christianity. And every time each of you recites this prayer, you recite the blueprint for the work of relationship that Jesus commends in today's gospel. You say, "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." In today's gospel, Jesus wishes that the children of light were as shrewd about going about God's business as the children of this world are about going about their business. We are to forgive because we have been forgiven. We are to feed others because we have been fed. As Christians, that sort of relationship, well, it's our business. Amen.